Can you dig it, sucker?
Thanks for pressing play on Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly source for pro wrestling news and commentary. Al John Go and Stephen Anthony here. And before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show, a quick reminder that you can check out our show via YouTube. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can subscribe to our iTunes feed, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn app. There's so many different great ways for you to get your wrestling fix from some of your favorite podcasters out there, because that's what we do. So please check out ProWrestlingCast.com for more details. Just click on our various links, and there you can also support our show. Yes, we are affiliates of HighSpots.com. HighSpots, there you can pre-order right now All-Star Weekend Night 1 and 2 from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Yes, and something else that you might want to check out, the PWG Young Bucks 5 Stars Double DVD set. You can get there the Pentagon Jr. cap, which is amazing. Pentagon Jr., what up, Pentagon Jr.? I love that. You can also check out one of my favorite shoot videos, Back to the Territories with Jim Cornette. I believe in there he actually does talk a little bit with Kevin Sullivan. There's a Dr. Tom Pritchard DVD, which is a must-have for your collection. And Ring of Honor Samoa Joe, Don't Call It a Comeback, double DVD set. And another thing I want to mention from High Spots, which is really great for a great gift, not only for you or for a friend, which is the High Spots monthly box subscription. We talk about those subscription boxes. You can sign up for just $14.99 and get surprise great DVD and gear from highspots.com. A great gift for the wrestling fan that you know, or even for yourself. Speaking of wrestling gifts, a lot of great deals coming down the pike from WWE Shop. And once again, the only way to support our show is check out ProWrestlingCast.com. You can click on our links to High Spots or WWE Shop. Brand new gear there from the Wyatt family, New Day, Dean Ambrose, and get this, one of my favorite shirts to come out, the Mr. McMahon mugshot t-shirt. Did you see this, Steven?
No, I did not see this.
You can get it right now. The Brooklyn Police mugshot photo with a disheveled Mr. McMahon with his square jaw and frumpy look. You can get that. And right now you can save 25% from orders of $25 or more, or just even more save by clicking on our WWE Shop banner there and support our show. Last but not least, Amazon.com. Amazon helping you get the gear that you want, whether it's, t-shirts, vacuum cleaners. I recently got a vacuum cleaner from Amazon because ours just went kaput.
Really?
Yes, you can. That's okay. It does happen. But you can click the link to Amazon.com and support our show. Now, without any further ado, let's roll that intro.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
You know, Steven.
Yeah. You like to drink coffee.
I like to drink coffee. Look at this mug of coffee I have. This is a supremely huge mug. Look at this mug and look at my face. Look at this microphone.
You like Daffy Duck, right?
I like Donald Duck. I do like Daffy Duck, though.
See, I don't even get it right.
It's okay. I won't hold that against you.
The main event was what now? Red Dragon did what?
Okay, so Ring of Honor.
I'm thinking about the old one with the Four Corners match or something.
No. This was this week's episode of Ring of Honor. They had Red Dragon versus the Kingdom with Maria, by the way, looking great as always. You know, so yep. She was on two shows this past week. Yeah. And then
I'm still shocked they jumped, by the way, to TNA. I you know, Mike Bennett. I like that they're pushing Mike Bennett. I don't know why they call him the Miracle. He did this long match, and at the paper, he should have just done a squash.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're going to mess everything up, TNA. So, you know, they are.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was great. Oh, and the Young Bucks was in that. So it was a three-way tag team match, Philly Street Fight. Great match if you haven't seen it, Ring of Honor this past week. Maria gets involved at the end, looking hot, giving the double low blow to the Young Bucks, which were outstanding.
Yeah.
There was a run-in from freaking AJ Styles. How cool was that? Little mini Bullet Club reunion. Everybody was doing the whole Bullet Club, you know, thing, the whole suck it, too sweet, machine guns, all that good stuff. So it was a great episode of Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor, we've criticized, and a lot of people criticized Ring of Honor because they're great ring in ring action, no doubt, but the storylines have been kind of weird, and to be quite honest, they're really focusing on their world heavyweight champion for their hour-long programming, and that's not a bad thing.
But they're very focused on Jay Lethal. I mean,
they're very focused on Jay Lethal, which is great.
Man, I'm glad he finally got the big shot. I was saying this when we were doing our year-end wrap-up show, but, you know, Jay Lethal can cut a promo, can do a match. You know, I know he's not 6'5", but he's great. I will say this. He was exposed to me a little bit, though, on the Wrestle Kingdom show, because when he did that undercard title match, you know, it was kind of obvious that he wasn't at that high level that we talk about. I mean, it the same with the Briscoes, are just not at that up high level. And I think Ring of Honor suffers in that sense because they don't have the best workers in the world like they always had. Mm-hmm. Because people are so interested in indie wrestlers, and New Japan is interested in American indie wrestlers more than they used to be. Not just the big ones like Giant Bernard or Vader, but, you know, guys that can really fly around. And of course, NXT's taken tons of guys. And then you have better, smaller promotions, PWG, like, for example. So that's what I find different about Ring of Honor. That being said, it was probably their most lucrative year.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean,
not the business sense,
right? Well, more people than ever are really picking up on it. The internet wrestling community, as it were, is really spreading their wings. A lot of that has to do with the fact that NXT has wet their whistle for stuff outside of the Fed. So I think that's a really good thing. Hey, look, we're getting balls deep already, and we're already a few minutes in. Once again, thank you for pressing play on another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, the video edition on YouTube, as well as the audio edition available on iTunes. Thank you for subscribing to our show every single week. I am the podcast king, your Asian persuasion, Mr. Aljon Go, radio host, also podcaster and wrestling fan since the very beginning. In the womb, I was critiquing matches, and we are here alongside my brother from a different mother, the man with a glove of injustice, which is fully loaded with lead, the lead-lined glove of injustice, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
Because I saw Dr. Death Steve Williams wrestle in 1985 as a rookie in Louisiana with Ted DiBiase long before. I'm old enough to remember when he got the Million Dollar Man gimmick, and I was like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Why does Ted DiBiase have $1 million all of a sudden? It really didn't make any sense. Rick Rude, too. I remember Rick Rude came out, and I'm like, I'd seen him on WCCW. He was actually the only guy with any kind of physique. WCW. So it's like, why would Rick Rude act like this? This doesn't make sense.
Someone was critiquing that some of the old school wrestlers didn't look very good and didn't work. Rick Rude is an exception. Rick Rude was an exceptional worker, in my opinion. He worked great. He looked amazing. And he was completely believable. And when, you know, and for me, his matches still hold up.
Well, he was the first one to pull a great match out of Warrior, mm-hmm. who I think is actually a little underrated in some ways, the Ultimate Warrior. But I think Rude not being in the Hall of Fame is kind of interesting. I think that's a little bit of a testament to him in real life, which was a pretty dangerous bouncer, gun carrying, slap someone in the face and knock them out type of guy. You know, he really did scare the shit out of a lot of wrestlers. Eric Bischoff recently told a story when he had to get the world title belt back from Rudy. He said, hey, it's in the trunk of my car. He opens the trunk and it's the belt next to a gun. You know, just a little intimidation factors from Rick Rude. The real Rick Rude sounds much better than the character, honestly.
Oh, well, he was an avid hunter. If you listen to Austin's podcast, he'll tell you.
Also, The greatest quote I've ever heard is when Ric Flair asked Hulk Hogan, why didn't you ever work with Rick Rude? He was such a high-ranking heel for so many years. And Hulk Hogan says, I don't ride wild horses, bro. That was so funny. I don't ride wild horses, bro.
Oh, Hogan. That's so
I was
funny.
Saying that for years after a while. Like, well, do you want, hey, should we hang out with something? You know what? I don't ride wild horses, bro.
I am not wild. And that's why you ride. That's why you run
with me. Wild horses and dangerous.
It can be dangerous for sure. I would ask our audience not only to subscribe before we get into the news of the week. We do have a promo of the week too, and he's back. He's back in full force, and he's shooting
another wild horse. Legends,
another wild horse, Scott Steiner. So I'll just wet your whistle for that. So that's coming up at the end of our show. We do have Wrestle News, NXT. We just talked a little bit about Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the aftermath of Wrestle Kingdom 10. And so much more. So let's just go ahead and get into the news here.
This week in wrestling news.
Let's do it.
So we talked about news, rumors, our speculation, as it were. You mentioned Hulk Hogan. What is this I hear about actually Hulk Hogan going into this year's WrestleMania? Because last year was not a very good year for Hulk Hogan.
I mean, let's just right out there to like 85.
Yeah. Oh, he wishes he could go back. If I could go back and tell Terry Bollea, hey, look, dude, you need to calm your ass down.
Well,
you don't need to be hanging out with Bubba the Love Sponge for one.
Yeah. Yeah, we know, you know, I'm not trying to diss people from Florida, but, you know, sometimes they talk like that, you know, because there are Southern, you know, and sometimes when you're a redneck and you're Southern, you know, you tend to say some racist stuff every now and then. And I think that's what happened. Now, here's what my thoughts on the Hogan speculation. First of all, I heard the radio show where Brian Alvarez was talking about it. And what Brian Alvarez, and this is so typical of the internet, Brian Alvarez says, I know a lot of speculation's been had about Hogan being at WrestleMania. I haven't heard anything about it, but, you know, the more I think about it, he could eventually come back. Whereas I initially thought we'll never see him again. That's not him saying he'll be at WrestleMania. That's just him talking. So, of course, you know, a day later, it's like speculation of Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania. Could it happen? It's like, well, that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about him being back in 2 or 3 years. You know, here's the key to me, though. And I know everyone's like, man, they're so depleted with the roster. You know, we're seeing pictures of John Cena in his bed, you know, with his arm messed up. How are they going to pull it off? Well, you know, if you bring Hulk Hogan back, and you break the attendance record, what do you want in the Dallas, Fort Worth, whatever it is, newspaper, or the USA Today? Do you want it to say Vince McMahon and WWE has broken their attendance record? Or do you want it to say racist Hulk Hogan back? You know, 'cause that's what they're going to be talking about. They're going to say, I can't believe it, but Hulk Hogan's already back. WWE has embraced him again, and that will be the lead story along with WrestleMania, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's a... he's dangerous to be around right now. And he's dumb. He's really dumb.
Well, he is definitely not a rocket scientist. And I know we all know that Hulk Hogan is trying to do his very best to turn things around in terms of the PR, that the PR nightmare that was 2015 for him. But eventually I could see him coming back. But it's still not even a year removed from the worst year in Hulk's career. So we need to kind of, you know, they need to kind of steer clear from the Hulkster. And you're right. You know, as much as they want to pack people in, they don't want to create headlines like that.
It's going to sell anyway. The Rock's going to be there. Now we're hearing Steve Austin too. You know, that happened during the last week or so. Mm-hmm. You don't need him. People are going to talk about, why is he there? Do they support racism? Which, by the way, they don't want to get into that, right?
Hell no.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence that could, you know, show some of those old Paul Orndorff and Roddy Piper promos on Mr. T from 1985. And you'll see some really, it would shock people if they revisited what these guys were saying about Mr. T.
Yes. Yeah. We don't want to do that at all.
Yeah. So. And Roddy Piper is a crazed heel and Paul Orndorff is from Tampa. So you got a concoction for a disaster.
The problem is a lot of people cannot separate what was commonplace back then. And look, I don't believe that Roddy Piper was racist. I don't.
No, he's just crazy.
He's just crazy. And he wanted to say things that would stir heat. Now, if you go back and you look at, you know, Piper, God rest his soul, the promo he cut on Snuka during Piper's Pit, the legendary Piper's Pit, where he said, here's a banana and here's this, that, and the other. And
because you know, you're a monkey and you like
you're a monkey and you like bananas or whatever the case is.
Yeah, bad stuff.
I mean, that's pretty racist.
Pretty bad.
By today's standards. But of course, back in the day, it was all like, we're getting heat. You know, I mean, decades later, you'll see Snuka and Piper team up together. You'll hear them talk on Piper's podcast, which, by the way, is coming back. The old school episodes. By the way, I made this really cool connection in Las Vegas for their Fed over there. I need to talk about that. But at any rate, it's just, I don't know. Moving on from
this situation. Real quick.
Yeah.
The Snuka trial has been postponed just to let everybody keep them abreast of this because it's not being talked about. And what the judge did was they said basically that Snuka cannot stand trial because he's not, you know, coherent or cognizant enough with his mental condition. So the judge has ordered a doctor or a couple of doctors to basically give him some testing to see if he actually can stand trial and if this is actually true. So they've been postponed, I think, till maybe it's March, but they're going to observe him because the defendants are like, look, the plaintiffs are like, look, this guy acts all that. He's been doing it for years. He's a method actor. So, of course, he could do this, too. Anyway, that is a little update on Snuka. It's basically a race in time. Will Snuka get indicted or convicted, I should say, before he dies? That's it's really sad, this whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know? But I've never been involved in someone dying. So I don't know how bad I feel about it.
So moving on, we mentioned our draft Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
What was your thoughts on the Austin Flair WWE special?
Podcast. Fantastic. Now, look, I have heard every single moment of those stories already.
Yes. A lot of them has been covered already in Stone Cold and Ric Flair's podcast, both.
When I bought the High Spot shoot in 2008, that was basically Flair's first real shoot. And it's a 10-hour long shoot, and it's on highspots.com, and High Spots did it, and he's great, besides him chewing, like I've said. But it's well worth it to purchase it as far as shoot videos. And then he did more interviews as they did the History of the Horsemen, and they did all this stuff and more in the podcast he did already with Flair. That's actually how Flair got the podcast job with CBS Sports, because he was drunk on the air and did this really funny podcast with Austin. So this was almost like a best of collection. They compressed it into an hour. They made it look, you know how this goes. You've done radio for a couple of decades, and you know they compressed it into a nice best of package, and it looked really good. And the, you know, they lit it well and filmed it good and put a lot of makeup on him. And I was really entertained by it. He actually didn't cry, which shocked me. But Austin's a very good interviewer. It's kind of amazing to think about Austin, the heel wrestler, and then the top babyface tweener, and then an interviewer who knows how to do interviews well.
He is podcast gold because he may not be a polished broadcaster. He has the charisma to hold the show. He does his homework, and that's why I have so much respect for Stone Cold. And my appreciation for Stone Cold has actually gotten bigger since he's retired because of all the stuff he's accomplished outside WWE,
with
his TV shows, building his brand, and of course his podcast, which is amazing stuff. We talk about the Godfathers of Wrestling podcast for personalities, people that have been in the ring, the Colt Cabanas, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Jim Ross, all those people really kind of helped shape the world that we live in today, where wrestling marks have so much content to digest every single day, including Taz, your favorite wrestler. And at CBS,
I didn't receive any phone calls yet about that.
No phone calls yet, no death threats.
I did not talk to New Jack personally. I was kind of fibbing when I said that. I will tell you that New Jack was in Houma, Louisiana, and me and my best buddy were going to go talk to him, and he literally had 10 dudes around him that looked equally as scary as him, and they were chilling out with him in a circle. And it looked like the scariest group of fans I've ever seen for any one entity. It was astounding. I mean, he is the real. Well, my point was, he is real, and Taz is a work.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you're right. Well, of course, if you listen to Taz's daily radio show, The Taz Show, you'll know that he is just a fun-loving guy. Like, I would love going to a baseball game with Taz because he is entertaining on air. Look, and I didn't feel like what you said was wrong in any way. I think everybody knows that Taz is just a fun-loving guy. But when he was the Taz Maniac, when he was the, you know, Hell's Kitchen killer, whatever you want to call it. You know, the
they pushed him great. Heyman's booking of Taz is, you know, that's what really sold me on this guy as a legitimate genius. Because when he went to WWE, and you could say, oh, they had him lose to Lawler, oh, they didn't push. I mean, he is the shortest little guy. He has a very weird frame. He's a head case backstage at the time, and they just squashed him because of their lack of, he had nothing to offer the big stage, is my point. He main evented, like, you know, Anarchy Rules in the three-way match with Masato Tanaka, Mike Awesome. And yes, a thing in Chicago was they filled it up about 5,000 people. But that was my point. Like, that's the highest level he ever got to. So for him to talk about, hey, they shouldn't let him vote, it's like, well, you know, on the Wrestling Observer thing, it's like main eventers that have legitimately drawn 20,000 do vote on it. That was my point. But Heyman is the genius that took this little dude and gave him everything, fed him to Shane Douglas, fed him to Sabu, fed him to every mid-carder and undercard guy, fed him to Brockus. I mean, anybody he could find, there's a name from the past, mm-hmm. and got him over to a degree to where I thought he was the shit. And he came out and he beat Kurt Angle at the Royal Rumble. And then the illusion slowly matriculated away. And it was like, whoa, this is just a short little guy. He's a much better broadcaster and podcaster, honestly. That was a bit of a tangent, but that's my
real thing. I mean, it's interesting. You have these great ideas about booking and creating that superstar, that aura, but you have to be able to put 110% behind a superstar that you're booking and book him in the proper way to get him over. And he slowly started losing that mystique when he got to the main stage. I feel the same way about Gail Kim. Gail Kim at TNA was booked properly because the knockout division was made a priority and was made to look super strong and put in high level angles. But when she came back to WWE and back again to WWE, it was just like, she's just another girl on the roster because they didn't book her properly. So she didn't look like any type of credible threat to the other women that they were pushing at the time. I mean, how cool would it have been to see Gail Kim versus a Mickey James, or a Gail Kim versus Victoria at the time, or whoever was there, to have a prolonged feud. They just didn't give her the opportunity that they did at TNA, which is one of the things they did right. So
I had heard the typically racist WWE had said that she wasn't attractive enough.
Oh, bullshit.
Not really. You know, or that, you know, and I'd heard it was because of her race, but I don't believe that, because I'd also heard that Stephanie McMahon wanted to push the Ultimo Dragon without his mask on because she thought he was so handsome, which is still the most stunning rumor I've ever read, that the Ultimo Dragon is hot to Stephanie.
I'm just going to leave that right there. I'm just going to leave it right there. I mean,
Ultimo Dragon takes off his mask, Stephanie's his valet, make him world champion. I just booked SmackDown for 3 years.
Exactly.
And he doesn't trip on that wire at WrestleMania 20, and everything's great.
Everything is.
Once he tripped on that fucking wire.
It was over.
He did an entrance. They were doing like an 8-man, you know, the cruiserweights, they throw him an 8-man back then. They didn't give a shit. And he tripped on this wire. And I looked at Terry and I said, that's it. It's over. It's over now.
I saw it too. All it takes is that one moment, man. Poor
old Punk. And he flew back to Japan and went back to, he's the guy behind Dragon Gate. But I mean, he flew back to Japan probably the next night. He's like, all right, fuck this. I'm going to do another match with Liger. I'm not going to do
it. I'm done.
Ultimo Dragon over Kurt Angle, 3 straight pay-per-views. I booked it.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel that, circling back to Austin Flair.
This coffee's kicking in. Go ahead.
I know, right? Circling back into Austin Flair, do you believe that this pre-taped, edited version of his podcast show is good, or do you like the live format better?
I like the live format better. I like to hear Ric Flair talking about Kevin Sullivan's cock in the shower and looking at it. You know, that's stunning. But... you know, they feel like they have to censor him. I mean, this is a 65-year-old man. They they feel like they have to censor this man. He is so crazy.
I feel like they probably have hours worth of footage. They could put it together for another podcast that would take place. Because if I were Stone Cold and Ric Flair, you fly his ass all the way out to the Broken Skull Ranch. Why not go ahead and tape 2 hours plus worth of footage that you can repurpose for another show down the road? Because people will tune in for that stuff.
Because he's crazy, and it's probably a whole another hour of footage that he can't play. The 2K Sports thing was the 2K Sports panel that Jim Ross got fired over.
Epic, by the way.
That was the ultimate. I mean, here they are promoting a video game. you know, and he's drunk and Ross is tipsy. And then he goes into a soliloquy about taking the ring that they had given him for the Hall of Fame and putting it in Reed's coffin as they lower the casket into the ground. Dude, this is for a video game. Why are you talking about this?
Oh, he had
that's a little dark. You talk about the dark cast and going a dark direction. I never said anything that dark.
Yeah, that if you ever
children, God,
maybe we should just have a special just based around that moment in time, because that yeah, like, was probably there are a couple in recent history. There have been a couple of things that happened outside of the WWE ring that were just amazing. The 2K panels that they do on a yearly basis are always really, really good. Just for the superstars coming out. Like for me, it made Roman Reigns credible in terms of personality.
Yeah.
It definitely made me laugh at Jim Ross and how a few years ago he lost. Like, I love Jim Ross to death, folks. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, he lost control of that screaming freight train that was Ric Flair. Ric Flair was there. It was John Cena, Rey Mysterio. Like, they totally lost it.
The only guy that can control Flair in any degree is Vince McMahon, because he knows how to push his emotional buttons and crush him.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this over and over. But, like, the Crockett's couldn't control Flair.
No. You know, that's why they had outstanding bills.
Yeah.
The Crockett's, you know, imagine the frequent flyer miles and points they accrued on those credit cards from all of Ric Flair's party.
And then you buy a jet to fly five people. What kind of money loss is that, you know?
Oh, I know.
Let me tell you something. I will say this. NWA, WCW in the 80s had the best roster and best matches. But Mid-South had the best writing and booking with a far less roster. If Bill Watts would have been in control like the Crockett's, booked and been the business guy of NWA, WCW, they would have crushed Vince. I just thought about that the other day.
No, you're right. You're right. And it's a shame that those two territories couldn't get it on until it was much too late. But
Because he knew how to book Flair, too. He booked Flair real good against DiBiase and babyface DiBiase, no glove with a beard. That's babyface. It's different. No loaded glove. Shaved.
No loaded glove. Yes. Shaved. Clean shaven.
Very different.
The WWE Hall of Fame.
Yes.
We know that Sting is coming in from last week. Who do you suspect will be part of the class moving forward?
I would go with the Freebirds. This is the year to do it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it feels like an inside rib to not put the Freebirds in over and over again, because Michael Hayes does work very closely with Vince, and to not have him go in the Hall of Fame over and over again is really funny.
Mm-hmm. He's like the Susan Lucci of the WWE Hall of Fame.
But since he's in the top three or four tier of the hierarchy, it's funny to Vince to keep him, but that's how he keeps people in their place, you know. But I think
it's just a rib.
It is. It's a rib.
I don't think it's necessarily the fact that he just is trying to keep him under control, but I think it's just a rib. And but it would make sense to have it there in Texas.
Well, those guys are so over. Terry Gordy, Buddy Jack Roberts, and Michael Hayes. That form of the Freebirds. Not the later Freebirds with the makeup. Okay, no offense to Jimmy Garvin or glam rock singers, but the original 1983-84 Freebirds and WCCW, you can't touch them.
No.
They're so good. Their feud with the Von Erichs is everything it's said to be. You can watch the old episodes. Guys, go into the WWE Network vault. Go to WCCW 1983-84. Check out the matches. Check out how the feud started with Ric Flair and the cage match with Terry Gordy and Michael Hayes as a referee. Check out Kerry Von Erich, this notoriously dumb guy, cutting a promo about what had happened. I mean, it seems real. I mean, it's legitimately well done, and they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame just from that.
Well, you know
what? Dallas is a perfect place.
You know what would make sense is if they also added Jacqueline to the mix, because
Mrs. Texas?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's get Brickhouse Brown on and ask him what he thinks about Jacqueline.
Oh, Lord. Really? We haven't. That's a name I haven't heard of since episode number 4.
He just was honest about his assessment of her business interactions.
Well, what do you think of her as a talent? Should she be in the Hall of Fame?
No. But they could put her in. You know, I mean, she was very good. I thought she was better than anybody else in the Attitude Era as far as a. No, I thought Luna was better.
Luna was better, but what I'm saying is just for breaking down the doors. I mean, you had a strong African-American female that could work at the time, and she really carried that over, I thought, into TNA.
Well, I mean, and I would say Jacqueline's feud with Sable in the summer or whatever it was of 98 drew two or three times as much money and fans as they do right now with Roman Reigns. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's true. That feud drew more than the Roman Reigns does right now.
Just go back and take a look. Any other thoughts? I think that the Freebirds would be the tag team.
Yeah. You've got
our woman who may be on lock, unless of course you have another woman you'd like to see in the Hall of Fame. Of course, we have Sting, who may be the headliner. I believe he may be the one with the speech.
Well, Sting will get the speech and Flair will introduce him, and they'll give Flair a little, probably more time.
Yes.
And then Sting will get, but Sting's not a big talker, man. He's a very humble guy, you know, so
maybe the one to open up the show, to be quite honest.
Maybe. No, I don't think so. I will say that the foreign talent, they'll have to take from Mexico because they'll be close to there. So I don't know who you would get for that, you know.
You think Paraguayo might get in posthumously?
Junior?
Yeah.
That's a tricky subject with their, you know, affiliation with AAA and the things they've tried to do to them.
Yep.
I don't know. That's not a one-sided feud either. AAA, you know, had Rey Mysterio on a pay-per-view when Mysterio was still under contract. And by the way, that's why they took Del Rio without him dropping the title. That was a payback for that. But Aguayo is so known for AAA. So does, you know, his father too. It would be nice of them to do that. I mean, it was one of the sadder things that happened. Of all the deaths this year, that one we actually saw, which is gruesome if you
think. Yeah. You look at people that died in the ring. We mentioned that, you know, as well.
Talk about bad karma or bad luck just starting at that moment and never stopping for them. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're having their their title tournament. And, you know, I mean, there's a chance that the new AAA champion could be Psycho Clown. And if Psycho Clown's your champion, then things are going bad. No offense to Psycho Clown.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of speculation as to who's going to go in, because you have your female wrestler, you've got your tag team, you've got your quote unquote huge main money guy, Sting. Right. You've got your foreign wrestler or foreign wrestlers. I mean, you could get one from Mexico. You could maybe get one from Japan as well.
Well, they like to do one a year, I hear. They like to do one foreign.
That's what I thought.
Tag team would be the Freebirds. Sting, you need one more big ass name, actually. You can maybe do like a Stan Hansen if you wanted to go that direction. He did have some great main events with Backlund.
Sure. You've got that. Plus, you also have the celebrity wing
fame. Let's see. I don't know. You know, pick a celebrity and go with them. They'll find some celebrity. This would be the year to put in Trump, right?
Trump is already in the Hall of Fame.
Oh my God! How many Trump's Hall of Fame? They've done 10 million. How many people are in there? 100,000.
Trump's already in the Hall of Fame. Boogeyman.
Oh, I remember that now. Yeah.
Let's put Boogeyman in there. He just signed a Legends deal, so good for Boogie.
Yeah, I saw he signed the Legends deal. That guy scares me.
He's pretty scary. Let's see. Moving on. NXT was great this week. Not only did you see them, you know, set up a three-way Baron Corbin versus Sami Zayn versus Samoa Joe, which is really good to set up the number one contendership for Finn Balor's NXT championship. But you also saw the woman battle royal for Bayley's championship for the number one contender. Just when you think Asuka was going to take it, who was your thought on who was going to come out on top of this battle royal? Because I didn't see it coming.
Well, I didn't really enjoy the battle royal very much, you know. But I mean, you got to push somebody new. You know, Asuka's not meant to like go to that level anyway. You know, she's meant to stay there, you know, and just kind of be in that situation.
She's going to help people work, just like Samoa Joe.
And that's what she does. She's helped everyone work. You know, I thought Emma, you know, long term would have been a good option. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
she's there to help people work.
Yeah. And you send me straight on her abilities and all
that.
Did I?
That's good. Did you look back at some of her work?
Huh? Did the takeover just was so awesome.
Mm-hmm. It is great, man. She, not only is she hot, but she's super talented. She's a great personality. I like Emma a lot.
Yeah. And this is a side note, and I've been wanting to say this a while, and I keep going on tangents, but this is important. And it deals with NXT. And I know Bayley's awesome in the ring. And she's really, I would say it's Sasha Banks, then Bayley, and then Charlotte, or even Becky. But I would say she's the second best, maybe, worker that has come out of there in the last year or two of this great crop of girls. But don't you think it's just utterly creepy, this character?
What, Bailey?
Like she's supposed to be like a little kid, right?
Well, Bailey's supposed to be like that girl on Napoleon Dynamite. She's supposed to be like the lovable, kind of naive girl,
right?
Girl next door, just kind of like, I'm always going to be your best friend. I'm going to be here for you. When you screw up, I'll be here for you, and I'm going to give you a hug. You know, she's
exactly.
I don't want to. It freaks you out that so many males are into her?
Yeah, because she's supposed to be 15 or something.
Oh, Lord. You see, I knew you were going to say that.
Really?
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
I'm the first person to say this in the history of the wrestling internet.
I know. You're right. But I don't think. I think it is kind of funny to see how men kind of gravitate to her, but I think that guys dig her because of her work.
I do too.
Because she has proven that she can work.
This is their fault for booking her with that character. That's my point, though.
I don't know if the character. This is a $1 million question.
Thank you.
Will Bailey's character that she portrays now be accepted into the mainstream? And I don't know if it can.
Let me just quote Stephanie McMahon from a Raw I saw pretty recently. No. It won't. There's no way it'll work because of them. He won't let it work. The evil one. Mm. The evil one will not let this happen.
The thing is, her character's been built as a lovable underdog, much like a Daniel Bryan in that respect. And, you know, but better. In fact, I believe they booked her better than Daniel Bryan.
Absolutely. They've booked her great.
And they need to, when she does come up, that's the only way she's going to come up, is that little girl in the corner that's everyone's best friend. They're going to crap on her. They're going to put her in obstacle after obstacle. And it's her journey overcoming as a quote unquote new person at Raw or SmackDown that will get her over, because you're invested in her at, just from watching her at first glance, like, who is this girl?
Yeah.
You know, you go on the journey with her to her being downtrodden and kicked and pushed over, being bullied maybe to a star. And then you take that journey with her and see her on her rise to glory. That is why people like Bailey. That's why she will make it, but it's only going to make it in the main roster if they book her properly. None of this half-cocked bullcrap 50-50 booking.
No, she won't make it.
And it takes time. It takes time.
They won't let her. She doesn't look like she's supposed to for the evil one, first of all. Second of all, he's... NXT's fan base and WWE's fan, it's very weird. Do you analyze this? Like the crowd reactions to the two? When they get up to here, like they have this fan base. Like when Sasha Banks does a long match, sometimes the WWE crowd will like, they'll lose them. It's the weirdest thing. It's like they like them, but they're not at the right level for them.
NXT are comprised of hardcore fans that buy into the network and real wrestling.
Yeah.
When you make the decision to put money into a subscription service, that means that you love that. Like, for example, if I wanted to be a PW Torch guy and buy into their service every single month, that means I really am invested. Just like you and I are invested into, you know, the WWE Network for classic wrestling and behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And I subscribe to, you know, T-Blocks. I love getting free t-shirts. I love getting Marvel Comics on the subscription app. Just like, you know, that's what I do. But that's a hardcore of hardcore fans. And when you look at the people that watch Raw and SmackDown for free every single week, if all of them subscribe to the network, that would be awesome. Look, you have what, 2.8, 2.5 ratings every single week consistently. Mm-hmm. If 2.5 million people that watch Raw and SmackDown for free every single week subscribe to the WWE Network, what the hell? What the hell? It would be awesome. Then everything would be awesome. That just proves to me that what they're doing on free TV is actually working too.
Well, but the whole point is that, you know, the whole point is that this is a training ground that has this rabid fan base, but it can't really make money because of all the money they put into the performance center and the amount of people they have there. And the fact that they deliberately do house shows that are 1,500 to 2,000 instead of trying to fill a 5,000 seater and just missing. So all of that investment is really for WWE main roster.
Of course.
And when you create a character like Bailey that's very popular, you know, especially with your pedophile demographic.
Oh, geez. Good Lord.
Oh. When you create a character. When you create a character like that, they're going to remain popular with the rabid fan base. Look, I like the character. I'm being silly.
Now we like Bailey.
Yeah, because she's 30. But clearly, right? Everyone knows that, right? 32 or 34, not 14.
Oh Lord,
she won't get over because people will remember. God, remember Bayley in NXT? Remember that fucking match she had with? Damn, when she won the belt. Remember when she defended the belt and all this? They're not gonna go, wow, I really enjoyed Bayley jobbing to Becky Lynch in 6 minutes on Raw. There'll be an angry backlash towards WWE because they don't know how to push someone. Because they're chauvinists, which I've been pointing out a lot lately, they don't know how to push someone that doesn't look like Trish Stratus or something. They just don't know how to do it because right. They're very visual. They're very visual on Raw, and they're shaky cameras and the pretty girl and the guy with the abs, and that's their whole deal. So I worry for her, and I just like her to stay. Like I said last week, I want her to just stay on NXT forever, which is why Asuka's so cool because she will.
Speaking of NXT, they just announced the 2015 NXT End of Award winners. Did you happen to see that? Finn Balor.
Yeah, I did.
Winning. Tons of stuff on Finn.
He did a Wolfpack symbol with Triple H.
Isn't that great?
Well, it was like there's so many meanings in it. It's like Bullet Club, Wolfpack, The Click. Hey, you guys stole this from us. Like, it was really amazing, actually.
Well, and you know Triple H knows that, too, because he does his homework, just like in a Regal and all them.
Well, I'm sure he said, hey, I was in the first incarnation of the Bullet Club. You should make a shirt. Yeah, I'm sure he told him that when they interviewed. that's easy to see, you know.
Yeah. Banks and Bailey won an award, which is great. You got, gosh, I mean, they're all over the damn place in terms of their
Baron Corbin won best hair. That'll hold him back.
Because
holding him back.
Amore and Cass won an award. Let's see. I'm trying to scroll through and find out. You know, I just thought that was really cool. They had
it was well done.
Yeah,
and actually a lot. You know, that's something. That's another classic example of NXT doing something really cool that the main roster doesn't. You know?
Yeah, they actually treated their award winners like real award winners instead of having it hokey like the Slammies.
Right. Again, they do it very logical, simple, old school format, 1 hour show. Nothing's too out of the ordinary. There's no like guy in a coffin at the morgue, you know, nothing dumb, you know, and I think that's why people respect the show. And even this past show, which quite frankly was a little boring-ish for me. Obviously, you know, we set up Carmella Bailey, but my point is that, you know, I watched the show, I enjoyed it, and I'll move on to next week. I didn't get an angry vibe, you know, like I do from Raw at times, and especially SmackDown, that boring ass show.
Wow. All right. So having said that, let's go to the Divas Battle Royal, by the way. Oh, and before we do that, let me just say this. Finn Balor, NXT End of Year Award for overall competitor.
Yeah.
Bailey for female competitor. Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy for tag team. Uh-huh. Bailey Banks for match of the year.
Definitely.
And Balor wins for... did I already say that? Yeah, male competitor. So
they spread that out really good. They did a good job with that.
Yeah, makes sense too.
And those guys should have won all of those awards. Ironically, you know, for once.
I think stuff we talked about before, which is great. So moving into the Diva Battle Royal, you said you weren't a big fan of it. You know, it is what it is. They put a lot of green girls in there from NXT, the Learning Performance Center.
Yes.
But at the very end, just when you think you had it all figured out, Asuka getting thrown out by Eva Marie getting eliminated by, of all people, Carmella.
Yeah.
Which sets up the best friends versus, you know, best friend. I mean, you have Carmella, who's best friends with Bailey. They're figuring it out. So, wow, this is going to be a very interesting thing that they do as rivals and not bitter enemies, I would suspect.
I would suspect they would put on a very good match. That's what I read into that. Battle royals are just boring to me. That's nothing I'm analyzing like, oh, well, you know, they should have done this or that. Or it's just a battle royal. You're all in there. You got a lot of greenhorns, a lot of girls from under the learning tree right now. And they even had some of them cut, you know, promos, which I thought kind of, you know, was good for them to learn, but hurt the show's quality a bit. But again, this is the learning ground. We always forget that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they did it fine. I'd rather watch just a singles match with Bayley or Oscar, even Carmella or Nia Jax. But and I know, I'm a little surprised the way they booked Nia, but having her lose that fast and then having her hurt and whatever. But it's just a battle royal, you know, and they had to get somebody over. So they did a good job with it. And the show was built around it because they're built around Bayley a lot.
If they are able to really get Carmella out of her shell, she's going to be money, because not only is she hot and she just is a great talker, but girl, you know, she could work. She still has a lot to learn, but I think there's money in Carmella. I just, you know, and I think she's the type of performer that the old man would push to the top. Don't you believe?
I think the old man has his eyes dead set on pushing Eva Marie to the top.
Oh, I believe that as well.
And I just think that's just something we'll all have to be getting used to, because losing a bunch. And see, if she goes to the top and gets pushed high and annoys people, people won't go, gee, I remember her in NXT having those sloppy matches. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, right.
That history doesn't matter.
Revisionist history.
Right. So it doesn't matter. It's like, oh, she was training then. That's the training show. Mm-hmm. Whereas Bayley, you're like, God, Bayley used to be so much more than she is now.
Only time will tell.
Don't you think that of Becky Lynch? Don't you say, gee, Becky Lynch was doing so much better in NXT. Why she's just recently gotten somewhere with some sort of.
Well, she has been, you know what? And that's, you know, like I said last week, I like what they're doing with Becky. It's because Paige has this concussion and, you know, everything happens for a reason. And Becky Lynch stepping up to the plate and really delivering. And I like her. I think she's attractive and she can do everything that she needs to do. And I think if they give her more time to develop her character with, you know, box promos and pre-produced segments that aren't live, I think they could do wonders for her character and building her character.
Here's the problem that Becky's going to have. When they bring up Eva Marie, they'll de-push her because they'll be concerned about market confusion. I know they'll do that.
Yeah, with the red hair.
They have a similar kind of thing going on with the hair.
That's about all.
I'm telling you, that's how they think. And it's stupid, but that's them.
Well, I think that lends itself to how SmackDown should differentiate from Raw.
Right.
And the reason why we have MR doing commentary now, and we know why he was brought in. I mean, in retrospect, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
That he was brought in from New Japan because we have an influx of New Japan talent coming in. Yeah. It makes sense. He can tell the story and further the investment the WWE has in the superstars coming in. Nakamura, Styles, Gallows, Anderson, all of them coming in, all of them making sense. And I believe they will be a game changer for SmackDown.
Right.
That's what I feel they're going to do. Are they going to screw up on Raw? Are they going to appear on Raw? Yes. But why have MR do the commentary and invest on him, make that announcement, and have every step just like, okay, this month we have MR doing SmackDown on the big move. We need something to differentiate the rosters. Let's bring in the New Japan guys, because right. SmackDown historically has been a show about workers.
Why not have the different shows like you're saying? You got Mauro. Maybe my dream of Ultimo Dragon holding the belt on SmackDown and beating Kurt Angle isn't so far-fetched.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you have AJ Styles feud with Nakamura over a SmackDown-based title, not necessarily a world title, why not watch that as a nice alternative to what you just saw on Raw? And you're just going to get more and more matches with the primetime players and, you know, change it up. I think that's a great point.
I think they should have a nondescript brand split. You know what I mean by that?
Not point it out, but do it.
That's right. Just
yeah, that's a great idea.
Because it would give their quote-unquote undercard talent a time to shine. They could shine up the Intercontinental belt and really make that the Intercontinental title, the Internet Wrestling Darling Championship is what we like to call it here on the show.
Just defended on SmackDown.
Defended on SmackDown. That would be the workers' belt. We could have the tag teams bounce back and forth. We could have the women bounce back and forth, defending their championship and making it matter. If you make Raw the priority show, whatever title that isn't defended on Raw that week should be defended on SmackDown that week to give it more time, more character development. You've got this influx of great new talent coming in. That's what what SmackDown should be. That's the show that internet marks should raise to. You're looking at NXT being fervorous and everybody's all foaming at the mouth every week for NXT. Take it that next step further and make the Paul Heyman show again, SmackDown. Make it the Mark show.
Yeah.
And then leave Raw open for the masses to, you know, because all they need to do is get a glimpse of it in SmackDown every week. And SmackDown is going to be a great show on USA. Yes. I think ratings have been
heavily up.
They're up. From Sci-Fi, which is a better time slot, a better network. Yeah. So now, Stephen, wrapping up our WWE talk.
Right.
Let's go ahead and go into our picks for the Royal Rumble. And don't forget, WWE's Royal Rumble that will be airing on WWE Network. It's going to be Sunday, January 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the award-winning WWE Network for just $9.99. And you can click on our link to the WWE Network there at ProWrestlingCast.com to subscribe and help out our show. Look, man, we have got a lot of people coming in, a lot of surprises. At this point in time, confirmed entrants for our participants for the WWE Royal Rumble are, of course, one versus all, Roman Reigns, the World Heavyweight Champion, Brock Lesnar, Sheamus, Jericho, Stardust, Bray Wyatt, Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, Ryback, Big Show, Curtis Axel.
Big Show, God.
I know. So, surprises in the Rumble. Do you think we're going to see another Diesel come in to get a payday? Mm-hmm. There's always legends that come in. There's always surprise entrants. There is. So who else do you think is going to make it this year? Who's going to be the surprise of the Royal Rumble?
Well, judging from a promo in Georgia last night in a small independent show.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I don't know what to make of that AJ Styles promo I saw.
So just to clarify to people, last night, and this is being, we are recording this show on January 17th. It was January 16th, right. And I shot you a text message with AJ Styles cutting a promo in the ring of that indie show regarding his possible entry into the Royal Rumble.
Right.
Fans were just going crazy, absolutely crazy.
They really were. Well, I mean, you know, I don't see any reason why he would. I'm surprised he cut the promo. I mean, he may get in trouble for it if it's not something they wanted to do. I'm sure he's aware of that. At the same time, maybe he's just going with the crowd. Maybe he was planting a seed.
Well, the crowd did egg him on. And when AJ was addressing the crowd started saying, Royal Rumble.
Right.
Royal Rumble. And then saying, you deserve it. You know, so it's
that
like
was very sweet of the crowd.
I mean, come on, man. So
he does deserve it. And that was really cool of them. But, you know, he maybe should have said, like, I don't know what that is. Or what is that?
I believe he said something to the effect of, if I do go to the Royal Rumble, I'm going to make an impact and do you guys proud or something to that effect.
If I go to the Royal Rumble, I will job. You don't want me to go.
No.
Okay. Yeah, they might be there. I think we'll see. We won't see Nakamura. I can tell you that. You know, he actually just did a match last night or this morning. It's hard to, you know, Japan time thing. You might see AJ. You need to probably put something in there interesting because this Rumble has been promoted solely around the idea. And I know they came up with it when John Cena got hurt, that Royal Rumble. Mr. Royal Rumble, Roman Reigns, Mr. Bad Royal Rumble, he should be called, has to defend the title against everyone, right? That's sort of the idea.
Right.
Okay, now I got some really interesting news that made me sort of despondent. David Meltzer is reporting that the plans for the main event of WrestleMania are, in fact, Roman Reigns versus Triple H for the title.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a different idea for Lesnar. Now, that would mean, hold your breath, that Triple H might win the title and hold it for 2 months. That's possible. How do you feel about that? I mean, how do you feel
about it? Well, it's just a rumor. Of course, there's a lot of credence to what Dave Meltzer says. But once
there is, again, but here's what happens with Meltzer. He reports something he hears from people because he knows the most backstage people, okay? And he has the most knowledge of history, okay, from what I could see. But they change their plans daily.
Yes.
So you never know what will happen.
And it very well could be a situation where the WWE purposely leaks information because, as I said, from the day one of this episode, we're all being worked.
Right.
So they plant stuff out there, and they use the internet to help their product, they might have leaked that information to test the waters to see how people would respond to that. And I don't like it at all.
Triple H, we know who he really is. Triple H is that guy that helped screw over Bret Hart in 1997. Triple H is the guy that took 28 years to pin Booker T at that WrestleMania, what was it, 2019 after the pedigree. That's Triple H. So maybe Triple H could hold the attendance record as the main eventer of the highest attended wrestling show ever. Yeah, that sounds right. Yep.
It's possible.
World title holder Triple H in the main event in Dallas Stadium, 100,000 people, because Triple H was always more popular than Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan.
Right.
That's what I see in my mind. That's how his dumb brain thinks. I'm sorry, not dumb. You know, that's how his brain thinks. He's not dumb at all, actually.
Well, let's be honest. It's not just him that would do that. It would be the old man.
Well, yeah, exactly. But he's figured out the old man. He's figured out, he's broken the lock. He's figured it out.
He's decoded the old man.
Could figure it out before, and now him. Now that's no coincidence.
Right. Well, that's what happens when you sit on in every booking meeting and get asked your opinion, and
or ride in the limo with him every day.
Yeah.
You know, because you're married to his daughter. I'll tell you one thing about Triple H. This guy's something else. Who in the world has gotten this far?
No one, honestly,
has gotten this far as a wrestler. A mid-card to low-card wrestler, Hunter Hearst Helmsley in 1996 to this. You know, what he's pulled off with his backstage manipulation, his psychology, unbelievable. And I applaud him for it because that is the game. That's why it's called the game. He knows how to play it. The best.
He knows how to play it.
You know, and then guys like, and I'm, you know, you're going to play it. You know, Steve Austin. I don't want to sing the whole song, but
are we going to put the theme song on in the background at the end of the show?
Well, you might as well. But look, it's like, it's all about the game and how you play it. that's what he does. He plays the game better. He's like, Steve Austin's like, I'm more popular than Hulk Hogan right now. My merchandise sales are up. And Triple H is like, well, I'm married into their family. What do you think of that?
I know, I'm one-upping you.
Booker T, you got a problem now. You're not going to be going over. So yes, I think Triple H will be in the main event. So Triple H can say he was in the, well, you know, it wasn't just, it was everybody that year. We had a great year. You know, I can see him in the future cutting these promos about how he had the biggest, I can see it. And The Rock comes out and costs him the match. And then Roman Reigns holds up the belt. And Triple H did the right thing by putting him over. He can say that too. I can see all of this. This guy thinks way ahead and works backwards, just like good booking.
Well,
not like they book now.
Because he's the main event of WrestleMania doesn't mean he's going to walk out with the championship.
He won't walk out with the championship at WrestleMania. You're right. You're right about that. Mm-hmm. You're right about that. But it makes the most sense for a hot heel to have the title for 2 months for Reigns to win back for his third title reign at the biggest show ever.
So are you telling me that at the Royal Rumble we could see a surprise entry of Triple H coming in at number one, the very last entrant of the Royal Rumble being Triple H, or 30, number 30, I'm sorry, coming in at number 30, and then bam, it's over. Triple H is the freaking winner. He holds the belt for 2 months and then the chase is on, which I believe is fine. I think that would make sense. I don't have
a problem with that. He's better than Sheamus or somebody, or, you know. That's fine.
Well, it solves the problem of what we keep on talking about top heels and how the authority is taking heel heat instead of building a heel heat. And of course, they still are because he is quote unquote a part timer in terms of wrestling. So, but it could be very good if he's able to get the appropriate heels surround him, much like J&J Security surrounded Seth Rollins. If he can get the proper stooges to come out to help Triple H, it might work. You know,
I see this. I see Triple H winning the Royal Rumble. I see Brock Lesnar's in the main event of Fastlane. So that means something. And then I see Reigns Triple H. Maybe Lesnar has a DQ match at Fastlane for the title with Triple H and then goes and jobs the belt to Reigns. Reigns is your babyface champion. Boy, what do you do after that for next year?
Well, I know. I think
hopefully everyone starts coming back.
right. We're talking about the Royal Rumble, and everything is really built upon that match. However, there are several other matches to take place, and we can speculate. So at the end of the day, who wins the Royal Rumble? Triple H?
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with that. I can see that totally. Even though Brock Lesnar is going to be there. So let's talk about this. Who will last? We have IC Championship match, Owens versus Ambrose.
Boys, I don't know. The Even Steven boys, I mean, they're 50-50 it all the way. I don't know.
Might as well make Owens wins.
Last man standing. You could have Ambrose win again without it being an issue, but I don't know.
It seems to me like if I'm a proponent for Owens winning, and it seems to me that there's been a lot of you either like Kevin Owens or you don't. And you don't because what? He doesn't look like a guy that's in shape when he really can go. That's the reason why you don't like Kevin Owens. You don't like his work rate. You don't like his promo ability. But yet you're going to just criticize him because he doesn't look like he's chiseled out of stone.
In their defense, they have pushed him and protected him a little better than others. Aside from the submission loss to Cena that I didn't like, they've kind of pushed him and protected him to a degree. Similar to Ambrose.
Yes.
Who's done jobs, but they've kept kind of high. They're high mid-carders. They're strong high mid-carders.
Well, he's holding the IC belt.
They think the same of Ambrose as they do of Owens, and Owens of Ambrose. You know, it's just there. So it doesn't matter who wins. They're on the same level. If they're going that direction with Triple H Reigns to fantasy book, you might as well do Kevin Owens Lesnar. Because the Marks would love it and the crowd would love it.
What I hear might be going on.
I'd heard that they pitched that, but there wasn't any interest in going that direction, actually. I'd heard there wasn't any interest in going that direction.
Well, just because of the whole dropping the prize fighter, Heyman, I think, tried to plant a seed, and let's face it, Heyman knows what he's saying. Brock Lesnar is a prize fighter.
Yeah.
Who else is a prize fighter? Kevin Owens is a prize fighter.
Yeah.
What prize could they be fighting for?
The title, or IC belt. I don't know.
Or a title. But anyway,
and then you can do an Undertaker match with whomever, and then you know you can go a lot of ways with this. But you have to break up your top guys, which are Taker, Lesnar, Reigns, Triple H. You have to break them up into three matches because you can't have them in two. You have to break them up into three matches.
So the women defending the championship, Becky Lynch, I would suspect will be going against Charlotte with Ric Flair in her corner. Uh-huh. Ric Flair definitely showing his heelish side, showing his daughter the ropes, as it were. We saw Becky Lynch last week come out and eke out a victory by pulling the trunks of Charlotte. I think Charlotte's going to retain her championship.
I think Charlotte will retain all the way until WrestleMania. I really do. I'm not sure who she'll take on, but that might be a good time to
Sasha Banks.
She's hurt, no matter what she says.
Oh, that's right. Hurt. That's right.
She is hurt, and she said, Dave Meltzer says I'm hurt, but I'm not, and meanwhile, she's hurt.
Yeah, she twisted her ankle or something like that?
I thought it was her knee, to be honest with you, but I didn't think she'd be out too long. Maybe February she'll be back, hopefully. You know, I would probably do for WrestleMania, I'd probably have Charlotte retain, and then NXT versus WWE Divas title, Bayley versus Charlotte. I thought that'd be cool.
Oh, my God, that would be
amazing. Get NXT involved somehow. And then also at WrestleMania, get Finn Balor come out with the Bullet Club, the Balor Club, and just beat the shit out of somebody and really go on a cool heel run.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
You can do a lot with very little. Bill Watts did so much with so little. Paul Heyman did so much with almost nothing, you know, really. And Vince has so much at his disposal. They have to book good. They have to book a good show. Be a good booker like Gato. Come up with something in 1 second. Boom, Kenny Omega's there, blah, 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 like he did. You have, now is the time to book. Don't worry about the writers. Book the show.
Before we wrap things up, you did mention Gato. Just upon further reflection and listening to our podcast again last night before this show, that was a really succinct review of New Japan, Stephen. That was like a quick minute and a half of like the best commentary on Wrestle Kingdom 10. I looked at it. I did see, I mean, come on, man. Nakamura Styles. Definitely really? One of my favorite matches. And at the very end, you know, the pound, fist pound of respect between the two competitors. Very, really cool. Very good.
I just wanted to say, and this is important. I would say, would you say, I'm going to ask Terry because she watched Okada Tanahashi, right? No doubt, right? Best match in that card. That's one of the best matches I've seen. Okada versus Tanahashi. Guys, if you're not subscribed, it's on Daily Motion. You can usually find it. Not so much YouTube. The way that
It's on YouTube.
You can find it. New Japan isn't exactly like Prince or something. You know, it's hard for them to find their shit in America is being pirated. The way that they have this incredible match, and they've already had two other incredible main events. The way that Okada holds on to Tanahashi's wrist. And Tanahashi does a movement to get out of it because that's the setup for the Rainmaker, which again is almost that same old tribute to Stan Hansen that they've done for 20, 30 years.
The Rainmaker. So good.
And it's so symbolic. You know, Tanahashi, 41 years old. He really took New Japan out of the doldrums. They had low ratings. They were drawing 10,000 for those Wrestle Kingdom shows, not 30. He's the main eventer that brought them up. It wasn't Nakamura, actually. It was Tanahashi. And here's Okada, the late 20s young guy, wanting to finally beat him in Wrestle Kingdom, holding on to his wrist, holding on, not letting go of what he wants, not letting go of beating Tanahashi, not letting go of the idea that he's the best wrestler in the world now instead of Tanahashi, and not letting go of the idea that he will do the Rainmaker to win the main event. And that's how it ended. And it's just fucking perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, so everyone's talking about the Bullet Club. Everybody's talking about AJ Styles. Everybody's talking about Nakamura. But that was the match. That will go down, I predict, as the match of the year. Because they've broken up the workers. That will go down as the match of the year, even though it happened on the fourth or fifth day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's very fucking long, so get ready. But, you know, I mean, with intros, you're running around 45 minutes, but it's something else.
Yeah, get yourself a sandwich and a cold one and sit down and watch quite arguably the best match over the past, 9 months? So, since the last Wrestle Kingdom.
I would say it was the best match since Tanahashi, Nakamura in the G1 finals.
Which,
if I thought about it, I would go back in time and make that the match of the year last year.
That was really good, too. We did talk about that, I think, briefly, because you know, I guess... New Japan is just now getting caught up on Access Television, and they did air that recently. So that's awesome. Wrapping things up, I think we did talk about New Japan, everything we needed to talk about. You know, we thought last week was such a heavy news week. I think what thing that will be interesting to watch as the pieces come into play for 2016's Royal Rumble, just circling back on that, is where does Brock Lesnar fit? Where does Chris Jericho fit? And will Bray Wyatt ever get a chance to break out and become what I think he should have been, the heel of all heels? He should have been that guy.
Yeah.
He should have been that guy. And they missed the opportunity with that. And
Well, Bray, you know what? Just to tell Bray this, because I see you, Bray, come out every week and you want to talk like you're a scary guy from the swamps. You know, I'm a very nice dressed guy. You see, but I'm actually a scary guy from the swamp of Louisiana. I know that. I know guys that look just like you, but do much scarier shit than you. You know, when you're a rich boy from Florida, the idea that you're going to play this character with this mystical shit, you know, I just honestly don't buy it. If I were them, I'd change the character, because you say you're from the swamps, but you're really just a Yankee caught up in the northern latitude.
There we have it. And with that, let's go ahead and play our promo of the. Let's
just, a lot of coffee.
Let's play our damn promo of the week, because I can't top that. I'm not in a pissing match with you or anything, but that was brilliant. Scott Steiner returns. And it's about damn time that he returns to Pro Wrestling Cast. Here he is, the promo of the week, shooting on the legendary Ric Flair.
A real shoot.
Oh, the shoot of all shoots, man. I mean, this guy.
There's his mail.
Mr. Crazy Pants himself. Let's let's focus here on the man that is.
Yeah, let's focus on his mail and his biceps.
Let's focus on that.
Promo of the week.
Son of a gun, but I'm saying one time you should have took a cab and used that money to fix your crooked yellow teeth. So I had to ask myself, if WCW was going to hire the Nature Boy number two, why would they hire the Nature Boy, the original Nature Boy, Buddy Rogers? Now, I don't know that Buddy Rogers is dead, God rest his soul, but Ric Flair, your career is dead. And I know as he lays 6 feet under, he's still and stole his name, there's one thing you could steal, and that was his class. So when you walked down that aisle last week, I knew I wasn't alone, because the people at home, all they did was grab the remote, change the channel to WWF, and watch Stone Cold, a person you and your old friends got fired from here. Because you're a jealous old bastard. So Ric Flair, remember this. In this wrestling business, there's never been a bigger ass kissing bastard in this business. But also in life, you're the biggest ass kissing. Backstabbing bastard. And you belong where you're at. WCW sucks, and so do you, me. I'm just gonna stay right here in the NWO for life.
For life. Oh man,
that's a shoot.
Scott Steiner talking about WWF, talking about how WCW sucks, talking about Ric Flair doing all kinds of stuff in the back of his limousine. Yeah. Oh lordy. He didn't even go into an angle with Ric Flair. It's like he just went off all rogue and went into business for himself to start a possible feud with Flair. I don't even know what Flair and Big Papa Pump's relationship is like at all.
He hates him and Flair's scared of him. It all goes back to a match they did in 1990 or 91 where he wouldn't put it was Dixie Dynamite. I remember it was Clash of Champions 6. He did a shitty match on purpose with a young Scott Steiner, and that's where it really started.
I see.
He really did hold him down with that match. It's not a very well-known match, but that's where it started.
I see. Very good. Stephen, where can people see you?
Dr. Death Mark is the only place you can find me, as I hide on the internet. But, you know, I do have my Nakamura picture up as my profile pic now.
I did see that. Very good. Find us at PWrestlingCast on Twitter, ProWrestlingCast Facebook, and, of course, ProWrestlingCast.com. High Spots, thank you very much. Get your shoot video on. Also, WWE Network and WWE Shop. All kinds of deals can be had by clicking our banner at ProWrestlingCast.com. And let's not forget, since day one, Amazon.com. You shop with Amazon, it only takes you a second. Go to ProWrestlingCast.com, click on our banner for Amazon, and help this show continue to put together great video and audio programming every single week. You can also follow me at Jedi Mouseketeer for all kinds of pop culture news and more. We do appreciate you tuning into Pro Wrestling Cast. Next week, we'll be back talking about the Royal Rumble, how it shakes out, WWE Raw, New Japan, AAA, whatever else we're going to talk about. In the meantime, don't forget to tuck your head. We'll see you next week.
For life, Nick Bockwinkle.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at PWrestlingCast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.